Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa. We're a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and today is Pentecost. Here's our scripture reading from the second chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What do you think is the most important holiday in the church year? Remember that word holiday comes from holy day, a day that's set apart from all the other days, something that stands out. Which one is the most important? I suspect most people's answer would be Christmas. It's certainly the day the most people attend worship. If you're only going to make it in the church building one time per year, it's probably going to be for Christmas Eve service. Now, part of that is that we get to sing familiar Christmas carols, and there's something very special about the sanctuary being lit up by candlelight. But Christmas isn't a bad contender theologically, either. It's the story of Jesus being born, God coming to earth, entering into creation to live with us. And Jesus being born as God in the flesh is key to our faith as Christians. The other main contender for most important church holiday is probably Easter, right? Especially if you include all the other events of Holy Week with it, in particular, Good Friday. On Good Friday, we see the extent of God's love for us, how far God is willing to go to complete the incarnation that started at Christmas. And then on Easter morning, he proves God's forgiveness, proves that the ultimate enemy, death, is defeated by rising again from the grave. Easter's another day when we get a lot of people in worship, maybe even more than Christmas. It's the linchpin of the Christian faith. If Jesus is alive, then it's all true. But if Jesus is still dead, if the tomb is not empty, then we're all wasting our time. So what's the most important holiday for the church? I want to include my favorite one, Ash Wednesday, where we're forced to encounter our own mortality and we're reminded to live in light of our death. But Ash Wednesday can't really top Christmas or Easter, I suppose. Today, though, I want to propose to you that Pentecost is, if not the most important holiday in the church year, at least the most important holiday for the church. Pentecost is not usually the most attended Sunday, probably because there are not any big cultural traditions built around it. Hard to find Happy Pentecost cards in the grocery store. Christmas has Santa Claus, Easter has the Easter Bunny. Maybe Pentecost should have the Penta Dove. But this is the birthday of the church. This is the moment when the disciples go from being afraid and hiding in locked rooms, feeling isolated after Jesus' death, guilty after his resurrection, and just confused after his ascension, to finally getting it. This is the moment at Pentecost when they come out of their hiding places and they start to change the world. Peter, the apostle who'd abandoned Jesus, who denied that he even knew him, Peter gets up and starts to preach. We only get the beginning of his sermon here, but you can read the rest of it yourself in the second chapter of Acts. As we heard 2 weeks ago in worship, before he died, Jesus had promised his followers they would not be left alone. Even though he would be gone, separated from them, God would not leave them as orphans. The Holy Spirit would come to them to be their comforter, their advocate. At Pentecost, that promise is fulfilled. God's activity in the world shifts from the physical, human body of Jesus to the mystical body of Christ, the church, us, the people of God joined in faith throughout time and space. God moves from walking around with the disciples to working through them. It's been tough during this season of pandemic for us to not be together in person for worship. Holidays in particular have been strange, especially Easter. But at least for Easter, we could remember that first Easter Sunday was not a huge celebration either. The disciples were hiding in a locked room when they heard the good news. But if there is any moment in the church year when the church ought to be gathered together in person, it'd be Pentecost. Look at the very first verse of that reading. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." The believers, about 120 of them, are all gathered together in Jerusalem. They're following Jesus' instructions to wait together for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled. And as they're gathered together, it happens. I don't know what they were waiting for. I'm pretty sure they didn't know what they were waiting for either. But suddenly, there's a sound of a rushing wind and tongues of fire, and the Holy Spirit shows up and fills them. But look at what happens next. They start speaking in other languages. Now, what you might not know is that Pentecost was an existing Jewish holiday well before this. You can read more about that on your own, but for this story, it's important to know that because of the existing Pentecost festival, there are a lot of people camped out in Jerusalem, Jewish people who have traveled from all over the ancient world, and they speak many different languages. These people are not believers in Jesus. Most likely, they've never heard of Jesus. And if the Christian believers had stayed in the house where they were sitting, they never would have heard of Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the believers start speaking in different languages. And the only reason to start speaking these different languages is to go talk to the people who are outside the house. Pentecost is a good time to be together, but perhaps this is a better time to be apart, to be out of the church building. It's been frustrating for me in the last couple weeks to hear people talk about the church being closed. I appreciate I have not heard this from members of our own congregation, but there's been all this language floating around about when the church will reopen. Now, I hope that we can gather together in worship soon, and church council is meeting this week to talk about what will need to be in place for us to resume gathering safely. But Pentecost is the perfect time to push back against this perception the world has that the church has been closed. Pandemic or not, the church is not the building. The church is not this office. The church is the people. I saw a sign that read, "The church is not closed, it's deployed." And I think that's exactly right. The work the Holy Spirit calls us to do depends on us leaving the building, and maybe not speaking in tongues, but speaking, testifying, witnessing, serving outside of the church building, in everyday life. And at some point, when staying apart out of love for our neighbors is no longer needed, we will return to the church building to gather each week, and each week we will be sent out again to go in peace and love and serve the Lord. In the last few days in Minneapolis and now across the country, we've seen yet again how powerful examples of the world's need for the message we proclaim, the message we have of God's love for all, the message of those other holidays that God has broken into our world out of love and has died out of love so that we can live. This broken world desperately needs to hear the message that all people are created in the image of God and deserve to be treated with respect. The world needs the witness, not of violence and destruction, but the witness of Christians standing up for both justice and peace, protecting and caring for their neighbors. The world needs the witness of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, an ELCA congregation located in the same block in Minneapolis as that 3rd Precinct Police Station. They've been providing their property as a medical aid station in the midst of the chaos and the violence. We need to repent of the sin of racism, of treating fellow children of God as if their lives don't matter, as if they're somehow less than. We need to repent of the sin of thinking violence is the answer, the sin of seeking power over others, the sin of coming to quick judgments. We need to repent of our fear and our apathy, of the excuses we find to keep our faith confined to a day or a building protected from real life. We need the Holy Spirit. In this Pentecost story, it's clear that the gospel is for everyone, regardless of language, skin color, social standing, gender, age, vocation, or ability. The Holy Spirit is leading us, equipping us, calling us to cross borders and boundaries and languages and cultures to proclaim good news, the coming of the Lord. Pentecost is important because this is the day, brothers and sisters, that we remember who we are as God's people, filled with the Holy Spirit, equipped with whatever we need to do God's work. Even though we are physically apart right now, you are still claimed in the waters of baptism as God's people, as the body of Christ. You have called upon the name of the Lord, and you are saved, you are forgiven, and you are set free to live as people of God. Amen.